Welcome to Airtime, presented by AIR, in partnership with the new Alamo Drafthouse. Airtime is a signature artist interview series featuring artists and creative thinkers in Richardson and the Dallas-Fort Worth area, where artists share about their art and why their creativity makes a difference. It's October 23rd, 2013, and today's guest artists are from Community Beer Company. They are founder and craft beer evangelist Kevin Carr and head brewer Jamie Fulton. Please give a warm welcome to our moderator, Chris Tucker, and as soon as you get a beer, prost.
Thank you, and welcome to Airtime here at the new Alamo Drafthouse at 100 South Central Expressway in Richardson, Texas. Alamo Drafthouse is essentially located on the southwest corner of Beltline Road and I-75. My name is Chris Tucker, and I'm your moderator. In my years as a radio announcer for WRR, composer, performer, and conductor, organizations such as Arts Incubator of Richardson engage its community with worthwhile events to showcase the arts. Airtime is a program designed to be a collective think tank on the arts, and we accomplish this by bringing in the artists from our community and engaging our audience members. Well, in radio broadcasting, time is an important component, so to help us along the way, we have someone, myself, keeping an eye on the clock. So when the time is up for a particular section, we'll hear this sound, a desk bell.
Wondering what that was for.
So please, another round of applause to welcome to the Alamo Drafthouse stage from Community Beer Company founder Kevin Carr and head brewer Jamie Fulton. All right, let's get going. Thank you guys for joining us, by the way.
Absolutely, thank you.
Thanks for having us.
So go ahead and raise your hand. Who's Kevin?
That's me.
Oh, right, and Jamie? Oh, okay, they must be the other one. When it comes to a company name, many brewers attach their specific location or a proper name. Why call yourselves Community Beer? Why not Car Beer?
Well, I mean, if I called it Car Beer, that would imply it's about me, and that's couldn't be further than the truth, from the truth. But, you know, community really kind of resonated with Jamie and I when we first started talking about this concept, but that was on the table pretty early. And, you know, the thing about it is at the end of the day, community is our beer is a communal product, and so there's a fit right there as it is. And it was kind of solidified when we went to the annual kind of brewers get together convention to kind of get best practices and sessions, and you're sitting in this room full of all these great brewers in the country and even internationally, and they kept saying the word community over and over again as they talk about what you're providing, the, you know, marketing and what you're creating and giving the consumers. And so that kind of underscored it. So we knew that, you know, we counted something like 206 times they said the word community as they were talking.
Was that a drinking game?
Kevin counted that.
Yeah.
I didn't count that.
And I stopped counting after 206 times. But no, it's about beer being a communal place or a product, and you get together and you know, with friends and make new friends and have good times around this communal product. And the other thing, too, is we knew that we were going to be in Dallas. We wanted a central location. We wanted to be an integral part of the community. And in terms of just personal choice, we wanted to use our platform to help strengthen and solidify and be a really representative of the community. So, across the board, if you come to our open houses and tours, you see a slice of truly the community. You know, every walk of life comes there and has a good time, and we all have a good time together. But we also want to do other things that kind of give back to the community. So it's always the beer first, but, you know, while we're doing that, you know, we want to support local artists. We want to help charities. We've had charities come out and raise money and do raffles with using our, you know, the people who come to our open houses. We let artists come and bring their work and sell to the people who come to our open house, so we don't keep any of the money. So it all really just kind of fits in what we're trying to do, and I think it's worked well for us so far.
Well, it seems. I was at the last one on Saturday to help celebrate an award, which we'll talk about later on. But during that time, I saw that community. I saw some artists there. Obviously, the beer was there, ready to go for all of us. And then there was a bicycle swap meet, and people were having fun. You know, there was guys riding two-seated bicycles around the parking lot. You know, I'm sure they had a couple of beers as well. And but it seemed like a great time. I mean, I love that concept of community around community beer. What else do you guys do to give back to the community?
We, you know, this weekend we've got a number of things going on. You know, we've got an alumni group coming up that we're going to do kind of a little private tour. It's actually his alma mater,
Trinity alumni. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
We have a group of deaf people coming out that we'll interpret and do kind of a private tour for them. Also this Saturday we've got
Kevin's fluent in sign language. So
yes,
he can
yes.
do the tour.
I'm doing the tour that day for sure. I'm going to have you do the tour. And
I'm going to throw out like alpha amylase and enzymes and a bunch of brewing technical terms. He's going
to
be like,
I'm not going to be able to interpret
some
that.
Stuff up. And people will be like, what was that? I don't know.
I'm going to say not important. Don't worry about it.
Not cool, man. It is important.
That's right.
So, so Kevin, along with being the founder, your title on the website reads Craft Beer Evangelist. What's a craft beer evangelist, and how did you come to the decision to open up a craft brewery in Dallas? I mean, tell us the story of why you decided to do this here in Dallas.
Well, to answer your first question, I couldn't think of a better title, to be honest. And I'm just a fan of craft beer, and it's really what kind of made me want to do this. But, you know, it's part of a software company. For 15 years, I would travel really all over the world. And when you go to places in the States, like Denver and Portland, and, you know, West Coast and places in the East Coast, you know, you walk into a bar and you see all this stuff on tap that you've never heard of before. And you know, when you taste it, you know, it was always fresh and delicious. And so you come back to Dallas, and at the time, there were no breweries. This was, you know, the 2000s, and when I started thinking of wanting to do this, this was 2010 pretty much, and you wouldn't see those kind of choices. They were all the big brands. And so as a home brewer for 15 years, I kind of knew enough about the process and kind of, you know, generally what it would take to open a brewery, and started research. I traveled to Denver and met with a bunch of breweries and brewers, and, you know, tried to find out, you know, figure out what I, you know, you don't know what you don't know. So I tried to close that gap as much as possible, and really kind of looking for a reason not to do it in Dallas. And then when you start looking at the demographics, you know, the consumption of beer in Texas and in Dallas, there were no breweries at the time, and the amount of beer sold, you know the people here love beer, but they weren't getting great beer. And so I think the kicker was I was actually in a bar working on the final piece of the business plan, and a guy from out of town, you know, walks in, says what's local, which is the common question, you know, when you travel. And, you know, the bartender said Shiner Bock. Shiner Bock's a great beer, but it's not local, and it's not the same, you know, kind of beer that we were wanting to do. So long story short, I didn't find a reason not to do it, and went down the path of doing it, and pretty quickly, you know, knew that I wasn't going to do the brewing. I needed to find a world-class brewer. And so I on a professional board, I you know, basically put out there that we were wanting to open a brewery. And Jamie was one of those that responded. And I talked to a lot of folks along the way, traveled to see people. Jamie lives in Fort Worth. And when I started to see the credentials he was bringing to the table, he had won over 10 international awards at that point with the Covey Brew Pub and Restaurant. You guys, any fans, any people know the Covey? I got some people saying you up there. And just tasting his beer and talking to him, and he's, you know, his the way we see the world and our passion for beer and business sense, it all was like it was a perfect fit, and then we decided to do it, and here we are.
So Jamie, it sounds like you're kind of the artistic side of this brewery, and you've worked at a number of breweries leading up to meeting with Kevin. Tell us a little bit about your story and how you ended up coming to Community Beer Company.
Yeah, so, I mean, yeah, there's definitely an artistic element to it, definitely science to it. I like a blend of both. I know guys that do only artistic side and don't take any measurements on anything, and guys that are way too scientific about it. I think there's a nice mix that has to happen. But yeah, I worked at, it started in college. I got a homebrew kit for my girlfriend's dad for his birthday, and I bought one for myself, and that's when it all started. I think it was like my sophomore year in college, and you know, I quickly had like 20 fermenters in my apartment. You know, my apartment was set to like 60 degrees all the time, so they turn out right. You know, I understood the science behind it, and it was like you gotta keep it cool to keep it tasting right. And I was doing it to brew some good stuff, right? So you know, flavorful beers, not just the boozy, like, you know, 10% alcohol moonshine, you know, people are wanting. I'm like, no, this is a Kolsch, or this is an American IPA, or this is an English porter, or whatever. But so, yeah, so I got my undergraduate at Trinity in San Antonio, and very shortly thereafter decided I did not want to work in a museum. I wanted to study brewing, and you know, thankfully my dad was like, well, thank God, man, I didn't want to see you work in a museum the rest of your life. I remember the call. I'm like, Dad, I don't know how much you spent on this education, but yeah, I want to be a brewer. He was like, thank God. So that was, yeah, he's awesome. So he was behind me all the way. And so I fortunately, right after that, got an apprenticeship at Blue Star Brewing Company in San Antonio, which is one of Texas's oldest brew pubs. They're on South Alamo in San Antonio under head brewer Joey Villarreal is the owner and head brewer. And worked under Joey for a while, got my feet wet, and looking back on it, realized that he was making me do some just terrible stuff that I wouldn't even have the lowest guy in my brewery doing. And I just loved it. I was like, yeah, this is definitely what I want to do. So, yeah, continued my education from there, went to Siebel Institute in Chicago, Domans Academy in Germany, did an extension course at UC Davis, California, right off the bat while I was at Blue Star. And when I got done with World Brewing Academy, which was the Siebel Domans program, decided to open the Covey. And the Covey Restaurant and Brewery was in Fort Worth, right by TCU. Opened that in 2006 when I was 24. And had that open for almost 5 years, closed it 2010. My lease was ending. And, you know, just decided wanted to move on. But during that time, opening the Covey, I mean, that was pretty compressed 4 years. You know, got married, had a couple kids, won, you know, major international awards, got great press. You know, the food was awesome, made lots of great friends. And we closed it September 2010. And, yeah, so it was the end of that. And kind of onto a community after that.
So that's truly your life story. I think you deserve a sip of your beer for that, definitely.
Parched.
So both of you guys are Texans. You know, to me, my question is, you know, tell us, why Texas? I mean, I know, Kevin, you mentioned a little bit about there were no breweries here in Dallas at the time, so it was a great opportunity to come here. But, I mean, did you ever give a thought to, well, maybe I need to be in a beer hub like a Denver or something like that? Why this area to start your brewery?
Well, I mean, it's two reasons, really, quite simply. One is, you know, I've got kids here, so I'm, you know, and I'm not going to pick up the kids and take them to another place. But really, I mean, if you look at the time, there were over 80 breweries in Colorado, and Colorado does not rank the way Texas does in population. And today it's what would we hear, 160 or something in Colorado right now?
Well, I know there's 100 in Texas, so there's got to be
a lot more. Yeah, whatever it is. But again, it was part of just kind of looking at the market. I mean, this at the end of the day, it's great to open a brewery because you love beer, and that should be, you know, your first priority. But pretty close second is it's got to be a good business, you know. And you looked at the demographics, not only in Texas, but specifically at the time in Dallas-Fort Worth, you know, and just the area, the four zip codes around where the brewery is, there were just massive amounts of beer being sold, 99% of it being from, you know, a short list of about, you know, six beers. So you knew that, you know, there was opportunity to provide a better product, a fresher product. And with the explosion that we've seen the last couple of years, you know, that was spot on.
So when Kitty Goddard, president of AIR, and I spoke about bringing in artists for this season, we wanted to expand our definition of the arts. Up to this point, our guests fell under the classification of the fine arts. So we're talking about dance, music, and drama. But we wanted to consider other arts like culinary arts, and in this case, beer arts, which I'm kind of thinking of it as. I believe there is plenty of art in brewing, and we talked about there's a balance between the art and the science. And I kind of, to me, I call it the recipe, you know, that there's a little bit of both. But before we get into the finer points of the recipe, Jamie, could you just tell us the process of brewing beer and the ingredients that are involved?
That's an easy question.
Well, keep in mind, you're asking probably one of the more technical brewers you'd ever want to meet, so...
So while you're speaking, you sign for us.
No.
Yeah, so, I mean, who could tell me the four ingredients of beer? Anybody in here know? And malt, he got it. Yeah, the four right there. Yeah, so those are the four main ingredients. Water, most importantly, water. Right, it's the majority of it. Yeast, malt, and hops. So, you know, we talk about what is the most important ingredient in beer, and that's really tough. But you talk about, you know, what defines wine? It's the fermentable. It's the grapes that ferment into alcohol, and in beer, it's the malt, and it's malted barley, malted wheat, what have you, but that's really the soul of beer. You wouldn't have it without yeast. Hops play a big part in it, obviously water, but you know, kind of what defines beer is malt. And malt is essentially, can anybody describe in one sentence what malt is in the audience? Yeah, best answer I've ever heard. That's great, yummy. Yeah, yummy and sticky. So it's basically a germinated grain, and you know, when you allow grain to grow, it obviously wants to grow into a plant, but during that process, it starts to break down this hard-packed storage of sugar that's, you know, it's there for, you know, 10 years later when it gets the right conditions and it gets wet, it can grow into a plant. But at the maltery, it's allowed to grow, and when it starts to grow into a plant and it starts to unpack all these sugars, we dry it out, and that's what creates malt. And so you've got all these sugars that were destined to be food for that embryo that's going to grow into a plant, but you dry it out and turn it into malt. And depending on how you dry it, you get many different kinds of malts. You get malts that have, you bite into them and it looks like amber, it tastes like caramel. You get malts that are super roasty. You get malts that are just, you know, straight up malty, that, you know, very lightly malty, you know. You buy a malt at Brahms or Dairy Queen or whatever, and it's that's what it is. It's ground up barley malt. But so that's the soul of beer. And so what happens in our brewery is, depending on our recipe, we're either blending lots of these malts. Maybe it's a really simple recipe. We've only got two of these malts. Some beers, like our Inspiration, we've got like 10 different malts, and blending them, using more of them, can concentrate the sugars, lead to a high gravity beer. I'm sure you've heard of high gravity. That just means, you know, the sheer amount of sugar that's in there for the yeast to ferment, pretty much. So the more sugar that's concentrated in that volume of liquid that we give the yeast, the more alcohol that can be made in there. Yeah, do you have a question, sir? No?
I told you he was technical.
Anyways, so yeah, so we, you know, depending on the brew, there's many different malts that go into each one. And also, you know, people are always like, oh, that's where the hops goes in. And, you know, hops is actually a pretty small part of it. It's kind of the spice of beer. It adds the bitterness to kind of counterbalance the sweetness of the malt. The malt's providing the sweetness. So the most basic way to talk about beer is it sweet or is it bitter or is it balanced? And then you've got yeast, and yeast is arguably the most important ingredient. And I've already said that malt's the most important ingredient, so arguably yeast is also. We wouldn't have the alcohol if it wasn't for the yeast, and it would just be gross if we were sitting around drinking a bunch of sweet, malty liquid that didn't have any alcohol in it, right? And sticky, too. They take care of the stickiness. But yeah, the yeast add many aspects to the beer. Lots of the fruity flavors, spicy flavors, just clean flavors that just let the raw ingredients show through. And at Community, I really like to emphasize that because we've got our own lab and we propagate all of our own yeasts. And most of the beers that we make have different yeasts in them, which is really cool for a startup brewery, and that we can, it's just one more way that we can differentiate. It's like having another color on our palette as an artist. It's just one more way that we can differentiate our work of art and you know, add more complexity to it, and in the end, more enjoyment for you as the drinker of our beers.
Now, Community Beer has a microbiologist on staff, yes?
Eric is a microbiologist in training, yeah. But I mean, I've heard many people say that guy is smarter than any other, like, you know, guy with a degree than I've ever talked to. Eric is brilliant, and as I was telling you earlier, I love having Eric around. He's been around with me since the Covey. I love having him around because he questions everything I do. Even if I'm completely right, he will question what I'm doing. And, you know, make me second guess myself and, you know, just bring the truth out always, which is important, I think.
Well, I did take the tour with him on Saturday, and he was very proud of the lab. So we spent a good bit of time there watching him create the yeast, and he talked about that as well. So it seems like this is very important to the process and to Community Beer Company.
It is. And the thing is, when we were going down the planning road and talking about equipment and, you know, what kind of styles we're going to make and just all the moving parts, and there's a lot of them to you know, starting a brewery, this concept of a lab came up. And while I was doing research, I saw breweries that had labs, and usually it was just a little station in a corner. There was one that his table was basically a piece of wood on two kegs, and he was like doing some you know, yeast stuff in there. We have a full-on lab. You know, we bring our yeast, you know, from kind of a hibernated state, if you will, and we grow it up, and these guys are actually in there counting yeast cells and picking the good colonies and kicking out the bad colonies. I mean, yeast is very important to beer. It's actually what converts this sugar to alcohol, like you said. But the more that I started talking to Jamie about why it's imperative, not should we do this, is we got to do this, have our own yeast lab, you start to see it. You know, it's you understand the yeast, you understand the flavors that's going into it, you understand how it's going to ferment, how quickly it's going to ferment. And at the end of the day, it also, we can reuse that yeast for consistency and quality over time. So Eric should be proud of the lab, and it's really kind of unique for a brewery to start off with that kind of footprint right out of the gate.
So I've noticed those initial monikers are used throughout the beer world. There's ESB, there's ABV, there's IBU. It's almost like being in the military. What is an IPA?
IPA is stands for India Pale Ale.
Okay.
But so this style, y'all ready for a little story? Okay, good. IPA. The story is that IPA was made so that the English could ship this strong, hoppier beer around the Horn of Africa to their troops in India. That's actually not true. The English were shipping this strong beer around to their troops. But it was just kind of happenstance, and the guy that was doing it had been doing it for decades before he started calling it India Pale Ale. And Mitch Steele from Stone Brewing just released this book on hops, and he did a lot of research on it and kind of debunked this whole story that I just said. But essentially what IPA is a strong, it can be very, very bitter, extremely hoppy, or anywhere from malty to slightly hoppy. So there's a wide range of artistic interpretation that can go on there. And I like to say that our IPA at Community is a Third Coast IPA, which I learned from my buddies in college that were from Houston. They call it the Third Coast. But, you know, these West Coast IPAs are dry as a bone, very bitter, and it's what a lot of people know as IPA, and a lot of them don't like it.
It'll blow your head off with the hops.
Yeah, and a lot of people love it, and it's just a matter of opinion. But on the other hand, East Coast IPAs are generally malty. They can range from, you know, hop intensity low or high. But, you know, I think ours strikes a balance of having a good maltiness and, you know, an intense hoppiness, a good bitterness. It's just balance. I mean, I look for balance in a lot of my beers, most of my beers, and I think if you have our Mosaic IPA, you'll find that balance is there.
So there's another set of initials that's very important to brewers. It's the GABF.
It's a big one.
These are initials
nice segue,
that mean
by the way.
Very much to a brewer. It stands for the Great American Beer Festival. Now, GABF was just a couple weeks ago, and Community Beer has a reason to celebrate. So, Kevin, can you tell us what happened in Denver?
Well, we went and we had a good time. No, we had a lot of beer. We found it eventually. That's right. No, we were honored and fortunate and humbled to have won a gold medal for our public ale. Yeah, it's a bit surreal. Still hadn't sunk in yet, and it's a really big deal in terms of just an honor, really, because when we were talking earlier, it's over 4,800 beers in this competition, which is the largest single site competition on the planet. 4,800 beers entered across 750 breweries, 201 international judges, and roughly about 80 gold medals, 80 categories were awarded a gold medal. So, I mean, just if you look at those sheer numbers, it's pretty humbling.
And what beer took the gold?
It was Public Ale, our ESB, Extra Special Bitter.
Now, I also have to mention here, you guys, obviously you're excited and proud of this, but even more proud that Community Beer officially started just 9 months ago, yes, in January.
Yeah.
So not only 9 months in existence, and you guys are already winning gold medals. That's pretty amazing.
We've won 7 international medals at this point. And well, I can brag about it all day long because I don't do the brewing. This guy and his team does. So.
Now you have another, I guess, competition coming up as well. The World Beer Cup is coming up in April.
Right.
And yeah. You'll be submitting some entries, I hope, for that as well.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll have a few entries in there. I mean, it's a potluck. It's so subjective as to the judges, and I mean, it's just an honor to be judged by your peers in the industry. These are the guys that have been around doing this for decades, and I've got my judging resume in, and it's probably going to be 3 years before I get in. But yeah, it's just reassurance, and it's good marketing for us, and just a major honor to be in that echelon of people that have been up there. I've been entering that GABF since 2007, and never have won a gold. And to win that gold, it's just extra special. It's just extra special bitter.
That's
yeah, but just right there on top. I mean, a couple silvers, bronze, but I mean the gold is just extra special. And you know, it was really cool too to just see Texas so well represented. I mean, I've been going for years, and it's obviously booming here now, and get the guys from Cedar Creek winning a gold, which, you know, it was their first GABF, and they won a gold. And I was like, dude, I've been doing this for like 6 years. I've been in this competition. You just won a gold. You never realize how cool that is. I mean, and, you know, St. Arnold's, Real Ale, all these guys in Austin. It's just really cool to see. It's just, we're part of a really cool phenomenon that's going on in Texas, and it's fun to be a part of that.
So I've got a question for both of you. Music composers have Beethoven, Mozart, Copland to look up to. Painters have Van Gogh, Rembrandt, and Thomas Cole. In the development of your knowledge and application of your art of craft brewing, do you have brewmasters that you look up to or have studied along the way?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I named my second son Fritz because of my Professor Fritz Brehm in brewing school in Germany. Just an amazing man, you know, successful man, a family man, and just a guy I looked up to. But as far as, like, commercial beers out there, I mean, there's... It's just so many. It's like walking into museums in D.C. It's like, I was an art history major, okay? So it's like I'll walk into museums and see so many artists, and it's like, you know, you just appreciate all of them. And I feel the same way about a lot of the beers in the market. It's I can't really say one way or the other somebody's leaned me this way or that. It's some place like GABF is a perfect example. You go there. And you buy as a, you know, attendee, you buy a ticket, and you can go in and try beer, you know, 4,000. How many beers are on the floor? 3,000 or something?
Yeah.
You can go in and just try any beer. And, I mean, it's just trying different stuff. And it may not be award-winning. Like, my favorite beer this year was a lavender vanilla-infused blonde ale. And it didn't win an award, but it was my most memorable beer that I tried there, and it inspired me. And it's from a little brew pub in Philadelphia called Notting Head. It's been around forever, and you know, you got your old favorites, and you go and try them, and high five the brewmaster, and you know, tell them they're awesome, and they already know it because they've been around forever. But yeah, it's just like anything, man. There's inspiration everywhere, and it's just it comes and it's fleeting. It's funny where it comes from.
So, Kevin, any exciting upcoming new releases that we can look forward to? You mentioned the idea of bottles is now coming to community beer.
Yeah, we actually released our first round of bottles about a month ago, and these are the big 750 milliliter Belgian bottles. They look like champagne bottles. We put two of our Belgians in them, Inspiration and Trinity Triple, and we've been really pleased with that. They're bottle conditioned. If you've had an Inspiration on tap, it's the same beer, it just goes through a different process, and it's amazing. Wax dip them. It's kind of a nice presentation as well to kind of showcase what's in the bottle. But what's coming up is we're now about to release some six packs, which, you know, people have been asking us for a long time. A lot of folks, you know, they drink at home, you know, including this guy right here. You know, I like to go out, and I never get tired of seeing your stuff on tap. But when I want to have a beer and enjoy it and relax, I'm doing that at home. So we're going to release three styles initially. It's going to be our Mosaic IPA, our wit beer, and our Vienna Lager. And then we've got plans for Pale Ale to come out. And then now with Public Ale, we were just going to keep that draft only. And now we're talking about, well, shoot, you've gone off and won an award. So
it was going to die a slow death. Thankfully it won an award.
No,
it's my favorite beer. Thankfully, it won an award. It was going to die a slow death.
No, yeah, no. Was. That was one of the first beers. A quick story on that. It was one of the first beers that, you know, Jamie, once you kind of understand his resume and what he can do, it's like, you know, you're the mad scientist, you know, you help kind of guide the ship on what we do. But I was like, I just got one request. When I go out to a pub, big soccer fan, love to sit there and drink, an English ale, an ESB, a Fuller's, a Smittick. Not really Smittick so much, but just so many great beers that come from England as a whole and that whole UK area. So I wanted to do an ESB, and so real quickly, when we kind of dialed that in, he hadn't done one of those before. So kind of we needed to kind of calibrate what we wanted to do. So we went to Central Market and went down the line. You can buy them individually, and bought everything kind of in that category as close as we could. And we brought our glasses and we brought our opener and we sat on their little patio and we opened up all of them. Little homework. And really just kind of sat down and took notes on kind of where we wanted this thing to land. And that's kind of, for me, personally, another thing that I really enjoy about this metal.
Is there a website we can go to for more information?
On all of our beers, yeah. So communitybeer.com, we post all of our styles and tasting notes and descriptions there. Our events are up there where you can find us on tap, which needs to be updated. We get a lot of accounts saying, how come we're not on there yet? Just a lot of stuff about us and what we're all about, but also Facebook. We do a lot of the social media. If you like us on Facebook, if you follow us on Twitter, you know, we're doing more updates as everyone is there more than anything else.
All right, so at this time, we're going to move to questions from our audience. So if you guys would like to ask Kevin or Jamie anything, just raise your hand and I will come to you. Oh, look at all these hands. I got to hurry up here.
Thank you. I'm the yummy guy. But anyway, question with regard to, you both mentioned homebrewing. You have like a story and an experience from your early homebrewing days? And also, is there any activities that you do to encourage the local homebrewers, like the Blue Bonnet that occurs and so forth?
A beer school maybe, right?
Yeah. So, back to stories from homebrew days. Yeah. So... Yeah, there was a batch that put blackberries in that blew up all over my apartment, destroyed my utility room. A batch that blew up all over my carpet. Lots of that. But, when I got into it, I had 20 carboys in my apartment. You know, I was keeping my – this is when I was a bachelor, obviously, keeping my apartment at 60 degrees Fahrenheit to, you know – girls would come in and be like, "Oh my God, they can hang meat in here. What's going on?" I was like, "Well, it's for the beer, you know, so the beer tastes good." But you know, that's sacrifices I was making when I was a bachelor to have tasty beer. But
I was gonna say, for me, the greatest moment was when I actually made good beer. You know, because when you start, you got this kit, and basically it's, you know, the easy bake version of beer for the most part. You got to watch it and sanitize, and it's decent. It's like, all right, I could do this. And then when you go into actually buying the malt and, you know, doing it the proper way, the first time you make it, and it's like, wow, this is good. It kind of, but for every one of those, I probably made four or five terrible beers. I mean, there was one that I tried kind of with fruit, a blackberry wit, and I also tried an apricot wit and just brewed them at the same time, a wheat, and man, they were terrible. They were so bad. I kept them just because I didn't want to let them go. I kept them, and every now and then, maybe they would age better for some reason. And I'd try them a few months later.
Age it out, yeah, didn't work.
No, so I poured it all out.
But yeah, we don't do currently any like pro-am brew offs or anything like that. But we will. It's just been trying to keep up with the demand, and you know, there's only me and two other guys there in the brewery, and it's just kind of bonkers sometimes. Just to keep up with something like that on top of it is just kind of overwhelming sometimes.
Yeah, I've got several questions. When you guys start getting low, you start sipping off each other's beer, or did I just catch you doing
did you
that?
See that?
You saw that?
Yeah, I saw that.
Anyway. Hey, sure, we're a team, man. Everything, sure. Everything for the team.
Hey, I was out.
Yeah, it made me kind of wonder there. We'll laugh. But anyway, seriously, are you guys marketing any place in any stores or anything around where you can go pick them up, or you actually have to go to your bars or whatever?
Yeah, no, we're at bars and restaurants. You know, all over the DFW area on tap. And then in terms of our Belgians and then soon to be our six packs, you know, all the Whole Foods, Central Market, Specs, Total Wine, PKs around town, a lot of the smaller places around town. World Market has some of our stuff. So it's accessible, but if you ever, you know, want to kind of find it in the early days, just check our website, and we've got a pretty good list there. He's always telling me to shut up.
When you were talking about the ingredients on beer, you mentioned water. What is your water source?
Dallas water. Yeah.
You process it at all, or?
Nah, just straight from the Trinity. Yeah, it's just right in there. Yeah, of course we do. Yeah, it's, you know, Dallas water, when you look at it from a scientific standpoint, is great for brewing. But yeah, you have to run it through sedimentation filtration, active carbon filtration. And we've actually got huge canisters in duplicate that backflush each other with filtered water. So sometimes, like on a home system, when you have one of these systems that has a backflushing system, when you turn on the faucet, it's actually bypassing the carbon filtration. And it's going, you're getting the chlorine. But this duplicate system we have backflushes each other. We never have an interruption of unfiltered water, and yeah, we check weekly for total chlorine, because there's chloramines in Dallas, which is what most municipalities use. Harder to get rid of, but rest assured that me and Eric are right on top of that.
It's as fresh as a Bavarian stream.
I mean,
the commercials with, you know, like Coors.
Yeah, and, I mean, the best way I could put it is, you know, Eric and I are the biggest critics of our beer, and we're making sure every single part of the process is tip top, from the water to the malt to, you know, every part of the process, yeast, hops, whatever.
I also had one other question on, like, Dogfish does a lot of brewing, like historical brewing, where they go and investigate all the recipes and recreate them. Do you all have any kind of plans like that, or alternately, you know, what kind of fun beers do you think that you're going to be putting out?
Yeah. So, I mean, as far as historical beers, I mean, ESB's got a relatively young history, but something like a Hefeweizen or a Witbier, you know, they've got some history, and I've always been a fan of, you know, why reinvent the wheel if we can make if this style has been popular for centuries? Something's right with it, okay? So why should I try to reinvent this? If I know that, you know, this is brewed with this kind of malt and this kind of malt and this kind of yeast, let's just do it locally and have the best Hefeweizen or Witbier or Pilsner that we can locally, right? So yeah, I put major research into any kind of any beer I brew, even if it's an avant-garde beer, a coffee beer, or, you know, some kind of sour beer in the future. There's going to be major research going into it. But yeah, as far as you know, like indigenous beers, like something that I'm chewing corn, I'm not. No, that's not really what I'm all about.
We are doing a Scotch ale though that I'm excited about. It's probably my favorite beer we've brewed. We're gonna take half the batch and, you know, sell it as is, package it as is, and then we're gonna take the other half and we're gonna put them in bourbon barrels.
And, you brew seasonal beers as well, yes?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, and yeah, the Scotch ale is one of them. But back to your question about water, I mean, the water is so good in Dallas because it's very soft. So I can go back and add minerals to the water to replicate, you know, these international water sources that make international beers so well-known and so distinct, versus having to do reverse osmosis, which strips all that out, and having to add it back, it just wastes water. So it's really nice that we have actually really soft water in Dallas versus Fort Worth, which was moderately hard where I was there. But yeah, we got the Scotch ale coming out. We're aging it in some Four Roses bourbon barrels, which are showing up in a couple weeks. So hopefully we'll be able to release some of that for our
coffee porter.
Yeah, our anniversary. But yeah, so our a coffee porter too that we did at the Covey, and I'm gonna resurrect something of that nature and partner with a local coffee roaster for that. It's gonna be a lot of fun.
One more question.
Have you all found that with the burgeoning craft beer industry here in Dallas that it has created a camaraderie as well as competition amongst the different craft brewers?
Yes. You asked me to avoid those kind of yes, no. No, it is. I mean, those who are willing to adhere to that mentality, which most of us, I think, do, and it's one of the things that, since you mentioned it, is that really kind of stood out to me when I was doing my research. You know, I would go to a brewery, you know, several breweries in Denver, and tell them what I was doing. I had someone that knew the brewers and stuff, and they're like, oh, come on in and check this out and do this and don't do that. And that's so cool. And let me know when you're opening. I'll come down and I'll see you. And, you know, I was hopeful that kind of camaraderie would be here in Dallas when this scene started to blow up. And it is. I mean, we see each other out at festivals or we stop by each other's breweries and it's a shake. It's a hug. The idea of what's good for one is good for all, especially now. So it's been fun. Yeah, definitely we have a lot of that going on.
Jamie, could you go ahead and... Thank you.
Sorry, I stole your bill.
Why is it always after I'm speaking?
So we close out our show with a very short game. 1 minute, I have 10 questions, very short answers, you know, like peanut butter jelly, that kind of thing. And it's just upon them to come up with whatever first answer comes to mind. And we're going to start this. I'm going to have 10 questions, so 5 for Kevin, 5 for Jamie, I believe.
Start with Jamie.
So, no, actually, we're going to start with you.
Ah.
And it will start now. Kevin, beer out of a bottle or a glass?
Glass.
Jamie, favorite food to serve with your Vienna lager, goulash or pretzels with mustard?
Pretzels and mustard.
Kevin, Elvis or the Beatles?
Beatles.
Okay, I know Kevin is a dog person, but Jamie, are you a cat or a dog person?
Dog.
Kevin, after Community Beer Company, what's your favorite brewery?
God. Really?
All right, well, you can think about that one later. Jamie, if you had $1 million, what would be the first item you would purchase?
New house for my wife.
Kevin, are you a morning or night person?
Night.
Jamie, sweet or spice? Or balance?
Spice.
And then the last question is actually for the both of you. The last one's for you. What is your preferred toast, Prost or Salut?
Salut.
Salut.
And that is our top 10 shorties. This is Airtime, created by Arntz Incubator of Richardson, and I'm your moderator, Chris Tucker, here at the new Alamo Draft House at 100 South Central Expressway in Richardson, Texas. Airtime is underwritten by Alamo Draft House, Dr. Barry Knezik, Christensen Davis Bullock LLC, and Eric L. Wise, and funded in part by the City of Richardson through the City of Richardson Arts Commission. We invite you to check out artsincubatorrichardson.org for future events and news.